like for us to read from the back of the Blue Psalter hymnals, Lord's Day 39, which is found on page 52. Question and answer 104, speaking about the fifth commandment. It asks, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them, as is proper, when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Our scripture reading related to that is from Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, namely that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Dear people of God, the importance of the subject before us this evening is seen in its being the first commandment in the second part of the law. As we know, the law is given to us in two tablets, two sections. One that relates our relationship to God, which we've looked at, the first four commandments. And then the rest, the six of them, are related to our relationships with each other. And in that area, then, this is the first one that is mentioned. And it is so because all other authority relationships are built on this one. And it's in this relationship that we are prepared for all the other relationships that we meet in life and experience. It is not insignificant that when the family unit breaks down, that it leads to so many other areas of society breaking down. That's not a coincidence. We might be more emphatic and say that's a causation of all of those things happening. So that when we don't respect our parents, when we can't be ordered in our lives by those that give everything to us freely and surround us with love, then certainly we're not going to listen to anyone out there that hasn't done anywhere near what our parents have done. No, then we're not going to give them any respect at all. We're not going to budge an inch. We're going to demand that we do our own thing. And there is in us a natural tendency to do that anyway. I mean, that's the way we are. And we're born sinful. We're born rebellious. We're born corrupt. And so we have this natural tendency to want our way. And children learn that very young. I mean, you think, I mean, who teaches them these things? Obviously, no one teaches them. They're inside there. They come out of their own hearts. They dig in their heels. They become stubborn because they want their way. And even though they are outmatched in terms of wisdom, in terms of strength, in terms of abilities, provisions, they still think they got a chance to get their own way. And they will rise up then in their stubbornness and refuse to obey. And what we have, as I prayed, in our family units, what we experience, that is what is multiplied, as far as God is concerned, in the whole wide world. People that He's created, people that He's given everything to, that's the way they respond to Him. They want their own way. They're outmatched, of course. They're outmatched with God's wisdom. They're outmatched with God's power. They're outmatched with the provisions that God provides for them every day. They are dependent on God. They couldn't live without Him. And yet they think nothing to reject Him outright, to disobey Him blatantly. And so God wonderfully and wisely begins here. This is where the breakdown begins and has its trickle-down effect upon all levels of society. And so we're glad for the wisdom that God gives to us. Though imperfect parents and children, yet we have great blessings from God. And Proverbs speaks much about that, teaches that disobedient children are a burden to parents and society. Whereas on the other hand, when we raise them to follow the wisdom of God by obeying their parents, it's a blessing. And those that set aside this injunction of obedience may think it is cool, but the Bible says it is foolish. It is a fool that sets aside the proverbs that God gives and the wisdom that God gives. It's the simpleton that doesn't listen and is lured away by the temptations that the devil brings and is led to the slaughter. So it's important that we realize how important and fundamental this command of God is. That it lays a solid foundation upon which society is built. This is the most important. This is the building block of society. It's the family unit. And when the family unit is strong, under the Lord's guidance and provisions and help and wisdom, then a strong society in which God's wisdom is reflected results. So as we look at this passage and this command, the first thing that we want to take note of is the fact that God commands us to do this. This isn't a conspiracy by parents. I mean, that's the way the world is, isn't it? It always wants to divide people. So if the Bible says, wives, love your husbands, and that they have authority over us in the family, the world pipes up, oh, this is a conspiracy by men to keep women down. And we have enough of those kind of arguments in our society. Everybody is made a victim, and therefore that we're on the side of the victim, and so we encourage them to be disobedient and to rebel. But this command is not a conspiracy of men. No, it's a command of God. And He gives us that then by His word. Let us note that both in the command, in the Ten Commandments, and here in Ephesians chapter 6, God addresses children. He addresses children. Which must be confusing if you are a Baptist as to why is God addressing children. I mean, they haven't made profession of faith yet. They don't have a relationship with Him. Why is He addressing children? I mean, God doesn't address Muslims. God doesn't address Buddhists. He doesn't address Hindus. He doesn't address those. He addresses children. It's not all children, by the way, even though God's wisdom applies to all children of the world. He's addressing children in the covenant. In the covenant. They are covenant members. I will be a God to you and to your descendants after you. Even as we read from Psalm 128. Children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a heritage from the Lord. And parents have a responsibility to raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. But let there be no mistaking, God addresses covenant children because he has a purpose for them. He has a plan for them. And that is that they may hear the gospel, that they may be raised in Christian families, they may be take advantage of the blessings that God bestows upon them, to hear that wisdom that they should hear even from infancy, as Paul says about Timothy, how you've known the scriptures from infancy, you've heard them from your mother, you've heard them from your grandmother, and they are able to make you wise unto salvation. What blessings are in store, what a privilege it is for us to be raised in Christian homes. But it can all be frittered away. It can all be cast aside. And if we want evidence of that, all we have to do is look to the Jewish people. They had all these wonderful privileges, and they frittered them away. Many of them died in unbelief. They had those covenantal privileges to be in the family of God, to be raised by him, to be led by him, to be blessed by him, so many ways, and they trampled it underfoot. Israel as a nation was like Esau. The person. They had that birthright. And they trampled it under. And they were rejected by God. As we know from the New Testament and the removal of the temple. So we have these privileges. And so God addresses children so that they may not fritter them away. That they may not turn their eyes from it and view it as insignificant, as Esau did. What is this birthright to me, he says. I mean, what practical use is that to me? I can do much better on my own. I don't need this piece of paper. I don't need this privilege. And that is repeated over and over and over again in Christian communities where children do exactly that. They reject the blessings that they have of being in the church. They look to the world just like Esau did. They can make it on their own. They can be successful on their own. But it's all to of no avail. So God addresses children. Both in Deuteronomy 5:16, as well as Exodus 20, as well as Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. Children, don't neglect the family. Don't rebel against the family. It is a unit in which God has so ordered things that if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then you will see and hear things that you will never get from the world. And you will have blessings that far outshine the things that the world offers to us if we would just escape this religion, escape this family, and chart your own path, make your own destiny. Yes, parents are to raise their children. But it is not bondage. We're not to enslave our children. We're not to have to hold them in prison, in shackles. No. Children are to obey the parents. That's the first line. Children are told to do this. Children can understand. They can reason. If they would only hear what God is saying and who it is that's saying it to them, they take these things seriously and have faith in God that he has their best interests at heart as their parents do. I mean, what sense does it make for children to rebel against parents? After all the investment, after all the sacrifice, that all we're interested in is oppressing our children? All we're interested in is sucking out all the joy that life can bring to them? That's our intent? I mean, what nonsense is that? No. Everything that you see of parents in general, and especially Christian parents, is that they love us, that they care for us. And by the way, even if they're not Christian, parents exhibit some of those things. Imperfectly, yes. Not with all the wisdom of God as the Scriptures, but it is so basic that even in the fallen world, there is that commitment to raising children. In the Christian community, we get the full blessing. Because in the unsaved world, they cannot teach us the gospel. The most important thing of all. But in the Christian families, we get both. We have all of these earthly blessings, but along with that, the superior blessings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only does God command children to take note, but he gives a warning. He gives a warning. The importance of this command is emphasized with a warning that is attached. Parents call us to many things, but sometimes they come with threats if we refuse. There's something that is so important, they want to impress it upon us, that they warn us that if we don't obey what they say, that there will be consequences to follow. Adam and Eve were given such commands by God. Don't eat from the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if you do, you will surely die. God didn't want them to eat from that. God didn't want them to have those consequences come upon him. From them. And so he gave them a warning. Is whatever disobedience we're going to follow, is it worth being punished by God? I mean, what we're going to enjoy is so wonderful that we'll take the punishment of God. I mean, sad to say, some children do. On an earthly level. They'll do things that their parents don't want them to do, but they'd rather do those and be punished somehow than not do them at all. And you think, what madness is that? What madness is that? But they do. And where do they get it from? From our first parents that thought it was more helpful to take from that tree that would make them wise, so they thought they would have the knowledge of good and evil, rather than to obey God. And how mistaken they were. As they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. It's sad to say, how many children are not like that? That when they grow up and they become disobedient and continue to be disobedient, in the end they have to leave the home. I mean, just it becomes unbearable. It becomes unsustainable, this rebellion, disobedience, that finally they have to leave home. And then they realize how good they had it. Then finally they realize the world isn't all that they thought it was to be. And not everyone's there to help you like your parents were. Nobody's willing to make sacrifices for you out there. But that's the way we think. And it's only when we get there that we realize what fools we've been. And that's the way it was. Once they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, they realized what a terrible, terrible sin they did. And now they're wrecked. But just as parents, our love is beyond the rebellion that we endure. And so when our children repent and they want to come back, there are not many parents that I know that would save them. All they heard, they swallow, and they receive them back. And that it is with God. And when they repent, that he receives them back. And at what cost? God promised to bring them back into fellowship with himself, even though, as we were looking at this morning, it cost him everything. No fault of his. It was all our fault. But his love was genuine. It was heartfelt. It wasn't towards some end. I mean, it is true that parents can be, live their lives again through their children, and so they have a certain plan, and that's the plan they want, and doesn't matter anything else, that's what they are going to do. But that's few and far between. Few and far between. Most parents want the best for their children. Most parents want their children to have the blessings of God and to do well in society. And that's what they work towards. So there's a warning that when we don't do these things, and we don't obey God, the things will not go well. Rather like Moses, I lay before you today life and death. Choose life. We lay before you today rebellion against parents and obedience. We say be obedient. Because that's what God wants you to do. That's what God commands you to do. But in the second place, we're to obey our parents because they are our parents. If we're going to obey anyone in this world, surely it's our parents that we ought to obey. They're the ones that have done everything for us. They're the ones that have sacrificed. They're the ones that have gone through all the struggles of actually having children and all everything that comes with that and the effort that needs to be put. This isn't a 1 week or a 2 week effort and then that's it, we move on. No. This takes a long time. It takes years and years and years. And yet they commit to that. And they commit to us. From the moment of conception, we are so precious in their eyes. And anything that threatens our life or ill health, it hurts us. It hurts parents. That's how much they love us. You don't have friends like that. There is no other relationship like that. A dependent relationship. Of course, we marry, and that's a very intimate relationship. But in terms of dependency, a one-way street, we might say, there's nothing the bond between the parent and the child. We don't keep tabs. With friends, we do. If we do everything for our friend and they never do anything for us, our friendship doesn't last too long. But with parents, we don't deal in it that way. We don't say after the first year, well, what has the baby done for us? Well, a whole lot. What have we done for the baby? Everything. And that keeps going for 18, 20 odd years. Same thing. We never stop. Because it's not equality. It's not 50-50. It's 100% from us. So because they invest in that, because they do all of these things for us, then they should be the easiest people for us to obey. Naturally that should come to us. And if it was laid out before people to adjudicate that, everyone would say that. These people have invested everything to you. You should show them respect and obedience. And so here's the first test of how our life is going to go. Here's the first test of how we are going to respond to authority, because that's the way the world, God has created this world, in a very ordered way. So every area of life we think of is ordered. It's not haphazard. It's not random. It's ordered. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in industry, whether it's in the country, it's all ordered. And if we don't have people that respect that, then ultimately what do we have? We have anarchy. We have instability. We have tensions. Fights. Because we can't get along. We won't listen to anyone either. So God teaches us in an environment that is all slanted in our favor. So he puts us in homes and parents that love us and a community that loves us. And they watch us. Every aspect of our life is a concern to us. So as we grow up, we ought not to neglect to see that. We ought not to think, well, it's their duty to do it. I mean, what kind of people and what kind of a nation are we going to have when we have that kind of attitude? Exactly the nation that we have. The government owes me stuff. The government has to take care of me. That's their duty to take care of me. Well, where did they learn that? Because they looked at their parents that way. They had a right to all of these things. Not that these things were coming to me because they love me and care for me, but somehow they're obligated to do it. And I owe them nothing in return. No, God has wonderfully set us in an environment where we can visually learn what is spiritually the case in terms of our relationship to Him. That's where, I mean, if we want to study God, then study the environment that you're in when you're born in your family. You'll see a lot about God, of our relationship to Him. And so God teaches us then that you need to obey your parents because look at all that they're doing for you. And once we have that ingrained in us, then we learn the wisdom of God to respect authority, to know that God puts people in authority over us, not to trample us underfoot. Again, it's an imperfect world. And so you can get examples where authority is abused. Yes, I know. Parents can be abusive too. But generally, it's the case that they care for their children. Generally, it's the case that leaders and people with authority have a sense of calling, that they have a sense that they're responsible for these things, and they take them seriously. But it's in the home where we get the easiest lesson. And if we fail there, then it's almost certain we're going to fail everywhere. And as I said, that's the way we see it. The proof is in our society. And it's easy to track the brokenness of families with the brokenness of our society. So we don't want that. God doesn't want that for us. And so He teaches us early on to appreciate our parents, to appreciate all that they do. And they are your loving leaders. So they don't just say, obey me because I have the authority and that's it. No, they're calling us to obey them because they only have love towards us. They only want to benefit us. They only want to enrich our lives and impart to us the wisdom of God that is able to make them wise unto salvation. We don't want to damage our children. We want the very best. Again, if we can't obey leaders like that, then what leaders are we going to obey? Because I can assure you, you'll never get leaders like that anywhere else, in any other area of life. And so, think about all that they do. Think about the sacrifices that they make. Pregnancy, for start. I mean, 9 months of a disruption of your body in terms of everything that goes on. And then to give birth. That's a sacrifice. And then to take care of you when you couldn't do anything yourself. You couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't dress yourself. Couldn't talk. Couldn't do anything. Everything has to be done. Day after day after day after day. Somebody have animals. I can tell you, taking care of babies takes a lot more work than taking care of a little pet. But yet they do. And they're so proud of you. They show you around to everyone. Look at our baby, our wonderful baby. And all the work that goes into it, they never mention that. They don't say, oh, you know, having a baby, what a terrible thing. I mean, so much work, so much effort. Oh, it's just driving us crazy. No. They're so joyful in you as you develop. But they love you without expecting anything in return. You may say that parents are unreasonable or they're inconsistent, but that does not justify your disobedience. Yes, they're imperfect. God knows they're imperfect. But nevertheless, the overall benefit to you far outweighs whatever inconsistencies they might display in their parenting. The benefits that you derive, that God intends for you, far outweigh their mistakes. Again, I don't want to minimize the exceptions where parents can abuse their children in a terrible way, but that is not the norm. That is not the norm. And if we would look at the percentages, statistically, it would be a very small percentage. By far the majority, a great majority, from the Christian and unbelieving world, I would say, are those that care for their children and love their children unconditionally. So God teaches us that we're to obey our parents in everything, but always in the Lord. This is not a blanket statement, a command, that we're to do whatever our parents tell us to do, because they are inconsistent. And they may tell us to do things that are against the Word of God. Well, then we're not to do them. We're not to do them. Just like wives are to be loving to obey their husbands, but not in everything. I mean, the husband isn't God. They can't say whatever they want to say and we jump to it. No. We have a brain. We know God's word. And so when anyone tells us to do something beyond God's word, we're to refuse and we're to take the consequences. And so God knows that our parents are imperfect, and they're going to make mistakes. But we'd better make sure that they are breaking the Word of God, and that it's not just your preference that they are not matching up. No, you don't have that to argue. So if they say, well, you have to be in by 10, and you say, no, I think 12 is more appropriate, then that's not a biblical thing of right and wrong. That's their discretion that God gives to them. And though you may not like it, you're to be obedient to them. But if they tell you to steal, well, then of course you say no. And if they punish us for refusing, then so be it. No, we're never to lose sight of the fact that God is our maker. He's our creator. And we're to be obedient to him. But we are to be patient with our parents. And yes, they may tell us to do things that we would not want to do, or we don't prefer that. Well, in a sense, that's where you need to suck it up. Because that's the world that we live in. Not every leader is going to tell you things that you like and that you want to do. And so there are times where you have to obey those that have authority over you, whether you like it or not. But if you can't do that, then you can't be a good citizen. Because you're going to rebel every time something that you don't like. Well, that doesn't lead to order in society. That leads to conflict. And so where do we learn to obey even when we're not happy necessarily with the direction? Well, it's in the family. It's in the family. And so you should take those opportunities and learn rather than refuse and to dig in your heels and to argue and argue and argue with your parents as though you were equals. You're not equals. God has given them authority over you. And just as we don't argue with the police and try to have our way, so we don't do that at the home. And we learn it in the home. And by the way, that's where we learn to obey God. Things don't always go our way. But if we start arguing with God and saying, well, why did you allow this? Why did you allow that? Why did you allow this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? We're not going to have a wonderful walk with God if that's the way you're going to relate to Him. That's the way the Jews related to God. They complained. Every time they didn't like the way things were going, they complained about God. In fact, at one point they wanted to stone Moses. Well, never mind Moses. What prophet didn't they kill, said the Lord Jesus Christ. They rebelled. So that's not the way to learn how to walk with God. And it's that it's in under the authority of our parents that we learn about the Christian life. And things don't always go the way that we want. And all of our prayers don't always get answered. Just like all the things that we ask our parents for don't immediately aren't given to us. So many lessons about our relationship with God and walk with Him are revealed in our home experience. If only we would listen. If only we would have our ears open. Then, as the scripture says, we would be made wise unto something. And we would learn how to walk with Him. And finally, it is for your good. It's for your good because we avoid the penalty. That it may be well with you and that you may live long. That's the promise that is attached. And that's what it says. This is a first promise, a first commandment with promise. And what is that promise? That it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. God's commands are given to protect us, to keep us out of trouble. And God has given this command so that you do not get in trouble with your parents. And worse still, later on in society. In the Old Testament, by the way, youth could be put to death for cursing and striking their parents. Shocking, isn't it? You could strike someone else in the street. You may be into a fight and you strike them. You won't be put to death. You could say things against them on the street and you won't be put to death. But you curse your parents and you strike them, then you could be liable to be put to death. Why? Well, as I've just said, if you don't care about your parents that have done all of these things for you, and you are brash enough to rise up against them and attempt to hurt them and even kill them, then no one in society is safe from you. You're a danger. And since you won't listen and you become stubborn, then they would be put to death. That's what it means here. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Because if you don't, you're not going to live long on the earth. And you're not going to live long in the kingdom of God. Because those curses are going to come upon you. Yes, it's true in the New Testament we don't, that commandment is not carried over in terms of the fact that we don't put people to death, not only for that, for any other things either, in the church, that is. Spiritually, the substance of that is still the same. If we rebel against the authorities that God has put over us, beginning with our parents, then doesn't that logically tell us that we're heading in the direction of rejecting the gospel, rejecting God himself? Well, no one's going to be rebellious against their parents, especially Christian parents, and then wonderfully go to church and present themselves as people of faith and love God and want to serve him. I mean, that's a disconnect. That doesn't work. We would have a hard time receiving someone into membership when we have the testimony of the parents that this is a stubborn and rebellious child. There's no way that we're going to receive such a person into membership. Because that's where Christianity is seen in their lives. And it's not. It's not. And so it's crucial that they understand how important this is, and that's what God is emphasizing to them. If we want life to go well with us, if we want to be surrounded with God's blessings, if we want to have that life in which we are at fellowship with God, then this is the path. It's a path of obedience and submission to all the authority that God places in our lives for our good, beginning with our parents. And when we do obey him, then it does go well for us. It does go well. And certainly for the Old Testament people, that meant living in God's kingdom, living in Israel, knowing his blessings, having the opportunity to attend worship at the temple, of hearing his law. These were all blessings that they enjoyed. Being part and parcel of God's people. That's what Canaan was all about, wasn't it? A symbol of God's kingdom, a land flowing with milk and honey, symbolizing God's favor and salvation. So God's blessings should be cherished, should be dear to us. And the way that we receive them is to be obedient to him and to trust him in terms of the way that he's ordered our lives. Because as I say, it prepares us for salvation. Jesus pointed to the faith of the centurion who not only knew how to give orders, but how to obey them. And that was a sign. That was a very revealing truth. He gave himself to the orders and the authority that God had placed. He submitted himself to them. And when the Lord Jesus Christ told him to do something, he went and did it. He trusted Christ. So he went from what he knew from this earth in terms of his position to the spiritual where he obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, Lord, Lord, that's not good enough. You're going to have to come to my house. You're going to have to do it. No. He trusted what Christ had said to him. And he went on his way. And Christ commented on his faith. It's in the home that we begin to learn these important and lifelong and spiritual lessons. And so God wants to highlight that. God wants you to understand that childhood is not a waste. Infancy is not a waste. It's not that we're just dying to grow up and then we can do something. No, no, no. These years, our younger years from infancy to adolescence are not wasted years. Here we learn the most important lessons and lay the most important foundation stones. The Lord Jesus Christ knew what it was. Raised in our own, and to be obedient. And though they were far below him in terms of wisdom, yet he submitted to them and he grew in stature before God and men. Childhood is not wasted time. It's a time when God establishes us if we are obedient to him and lays that solid foundation that brings us into a wonderful relationship with himself in this world and in the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have laid out a wonderful path for us. You have provided everything that we need for life and godliness. With patience, with gentleness, with protections and provisions. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that it begins even before we take our first breath. You give us parents to love us and to care for us, to provide all that we need. A wonderful image and a picture of you and our relationship with you. That you have known us before the creation of the world. You bring us forth so that we might know you, whom to know is life eternal. And Lord, that we might learn to obey you. That we might learn to curb our hearts and our wills that are naturally inclined to rebellion and having its own way. And our Father, now we pray that you would bless the parents, even as our passage says, that we do not provoke our children, but rather we reflect our wonderful Father in heaven. And our Father, we pray for our children too, that you would grant them the wisdom to be obedient and to learn and to become wise even unto salvation. Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers and that you would bless us as we go forth into another week. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 417.